Welcome to Nathan's School of Thought. I'm Nathan Walker, Global Performance Coach, here to share principles gleaned from decades of teaching, training, and coaching on four continents. Whether you're a senior executive, salesperson, new parent, military leader, artist, musician, head of a nonprofit, or a student, it doesn't matter who you are, only who you can become. Join me each week to have your brain flipped upside down as we move together toward a happier, healthier, and much more productive life. Hello, my friends. Recently, I played a gig for the Richard Erickson Foundation. Actually, I played four gigs in 2 days. And in between those sets, I had some time to walk around and look at what was going on in a place called the Antique Power Museum. Several buildings are full of cars. Indy 500 pace cars, old antique cars. There is an area outside that's full of old tractors. But one of the buildings that was particularly intriguing to me was full of old motorcycles. We're talking about early 1900s, one of 10 in existence kind of motorcycles. Early Harley Davidsons, Indians, Pierces, some other things you've never even heard of. Some of the oldest motorcycles even had pedals to help them get going. I remember looking at labels that said, this was the first one to go more than 100 miles an hour, etc. Looking at those old bikes, and many new ones, it was just absolutely shocking to me how insane these people must have been. I mean, seriously. You had to have a death wish to ride some of those old ones. Now, not everybody raced them, and not everybody was out of their minds. A lot of people just used them as a great way to get from here to there. They were an exciting new technology. But some were trying to push the future forward by seeing how fast they could go, or how quickly around a track, or who could win the race. Some were works of art, some were works of mechanical genius, and some were both. All of this reminded me of an experience I had a few years ago. Most of my life, I had been afraid of motorcycles. I don't know what it was about them, I just thought, they're too dangerous, I don't really know what's going on, the way you shift gears is kind of weird, and they're not my thing. I had friends and family members who thought they were the best thing on earth, but not for me. During a particularly busy portion of my career, I had flown 110,000 miles in 100 days. Not long afterward, I ended up in the hospital, wondering what was wrong. I had all kinds of strange symptoms in all kinds of places. The doctors scheduled one of those long days where they run cameras down your throat and x-rays all over and everything they could think of. And one of the doctors said, well, I think it could be stomach cancer or liver failure or kidney failure. Probably one of those three. As you might imagine, that was terrifying. My wife and I went home from the doctor's appointment and spent the night staying up worrying and praying and doing all the things you do. The next morning, I got a phone call from the hospital and very tentatively picked it up, afraid of the worst. The doctor said, well, it's actually possible for your body to become so tired that it starts shutting organs off, and that's what's happening to you. You're dying from exhaustion. As we talked about what to do next and whether this was reversible or not, obviously it was, he said, what do you do for recreation? And I said, well, I watch movies on the plane. He didn't think that was funny. He said, I'm not joking. Unless you do something different, you will not live. Well, by then, my body was so tired and I was so exhausted emotionally, spiritually, and physically, that I couldn't think of anything that sounded like recreation that I could do, let alone look forward to. But I saw a TV commercial with a motorcycle winding between the trees down a mountain road, and I thought, okay, that's got to feel pretty good. A few weeks later, I was at the riding class at the local Harley dealership, and not long after that, went home with a great big Harley Davidson Street Glide. I love that thing. Before I bought it, however, I had a long talk with my instructor. He had been a motorcycle cop for more than 20 years, so he knew how to ride. I told him I was really scared. I was afraid of the risk I was assuming by riding a motorcycle. Friends and relatives who heard about it were just absolutely appalled. "You're doing what? You're going to ride a motorcycle?" They knew that I would die almost instantly. While I talked to the instructor about it, he said, "Look, first of all, you're a smart guy, and you're not going to take ridiculous, unnecessary risks. Second, if you're careful, the risk is lower than you think. And third, you're a good rider. Get the bike you want, get on it, and have an experience." It was the words "have an experience" that actually meant something to me. The experiences I had since then on that bike are part of what I believe saved my life, and I mean that literally. It's interesting that so much of the shock, horror, and dismay expressed by friends and family were expressed by people who ride horses, ride snowmobiles, hike, climb rocks, do all kinds of crazy things. To them, the risk and the word motorcycle were very closely associated, while they were completely unaware of the similar risk that they were assuming by activities that they enjoyed. I found the most comprehensive report I could find on the risk of riding a motorcycle and the likelihood of a fatality. It was interesting to note that more than half of the fatalities were when the rider was either drunk or speeding or both. That put me in a safer percentage. Another huge number was people under 25 years of age who tended to take riskier risks than those of us who did not, and so on. By the time I finished the report, I thought, okay, this is an experience I want to have. This is something that will bring me joy, relaxation, and could be really fun. My wife thought I was out of my mind. A couple of thousand miles later, she too got on the bike behind me, and we have enjoyed wonderful rides ever since. It's become one of the things we look forward to the most as soon as the weather is good enough. Now, why am I telling you a motorcycle story? We live in a society where risk is portrayed as a very bad thing. A VBT, you gotta capitalize it. We hear people say, "Stay safe." We hear endless announcements over the PA at every store we go to, post-pandemic, if there is such a thing, talking about staying safe, avoiding risk, etc. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should go around being foolish, but if you really believed that no experience was worth the risk, you would never leave your house. You'd never go anywhere in a car. People say, "Well, for the sake of my children, I would never assume risk." Really? Do you have racing harnesses in your car? Or do you go to the grocery store together with your children seatbelted in? Seatbelts are more risky than racing harnesses. So why do you use them? Easy. The experience that you want to have involves some risk weighed against the reward. The experience you want to have or need to have of going to the store. Others do it with other hobbies, with other risky things. If you go rappelling, you're assuming risk. If you ride a snowmobile, you're assuming risk. If you drive to work, you're assuming risk. If you get on an airplane, you're assuming some risk. There are experiences out there for you that involve a willingness to take a little bit of a chance. In fact, the best experiences, the breakthrough experiences, all involve risk. You want proof? Marriage. I can think of nothing more risky than saying, "You know, we've dated for a little while, and I think I know you pretty well. Why don't we tie our lives together for the next 50 years and see how this plays out?" And yet many of us do it. Some are not successful and find that that risk didn't pay off the way they wanted it to. But for many, including myself, it was the best thing I ever did. Every good thing involves pushing the boundaries a little bit, and pushing the boundaries involves risk. Risky thinking is the kind of thinking that makes us go somewhere we were afraid to go. For example, when I'm coaching someone, I very often ask difficult questions. Questions they kind of hoped I wouldn't ask. It's not that I'm asking questions that are inappropriate, or somehow harmful. It's just that very often people are uncomfortable thinking in a way they have not thought before. Many of us are uncomfortable not knowing the answer. When we cling to the mantra, safety first, we think that we're clinging to something that gives us an answer. But it doesn't. Safety first should not be your mantra. Experience first should be. Love first. Enjoyment first. Living life to the fullest first. Finding new boundaries, new frontiers, new inventions, new thoughts, new ways of doing things first. Safety is important. Taking unnecessary risk is foolish. But no progress happens without some calculated risk. If you want to really challenge yourself, spend some time with a pencil and paper and write down things that make you nervous to talk about, think about, explore, or visualize. You want to take a really powerful risk? Start with the one inside of your own head. Now to you parents. One of the most difficult things a parent ever faces is watching their children take risks. Our unwillingness to see them in harm's way, regardless of the severity of the risk, often turns us toward what you've heard as helicopter parenting. Mothers or fathers who hover over their children, afraid of any kind of injury, and as a result, shielding their children from any kind of lesson. All learning involves risk. If you want your child to learn not to climb up on the chair and jump off, you might consider making sure that they're just jumping onto the carpet, and probably the worst thing that will happen is they'll bang their knee and look at you wondering how they should react. As parents, you get to decide. But letting a child dig in the dirt, run around like a crazy person, or think wonderful, strange, new thoughts and ask you all kinds of questions may be the greatest gift you'll ever give them. The Wright brothers took a risk. The makers of those early motorcycles took a risk. Henry Ford took a risk. Steve Jobs took risks in business. People take risks in science, in medicine, and in life. Being risk-averse is not necessarily helpful to you, and I don't think it's a virtue. Being willing to take a little risk for a greater reward, being willing to push yourself beyond what you have done before, being willing to accept that you can get through difficult experiences, but only if you actually encounter them, is a way to become well-balanced, well-prepared, experienced, strong, and accomplished. So think about risk. Think about doing something dangerous. Danger to you might be stepping out the door. Danger might be saying what you really think. Danger might be having a conversation you were afraid to have, or telling a friend or a spouse how you felt when they said something to you that you didn't like. Danger may be getting on a horse for the first time, riding a motorcycle, or being willing to drive. Danger may be skydiving. You get to decide how much risk you wish to assume. But whatever you do, please, for your own sake, for the sake of your children, your family, your friends, and the world, don't duck and cover. Lying on the floor in fetal position doesn't build you into a better, stronger, more capable, and happier person. Going outside, spreading your arms wide to the sky, and saying, "Okay, I'm ready to do something." Now that is freedom. If you have additional thoughts about this, or I can help you in any way overcome some of the barriers that you have assumed, thinking that you are doing yourself a favor, let me know. Go to the website referenced in the podcast description, and on the contact page in the comments section, let me know what you'd like to talk more about, what you'd like to hear, or how I can help you. We'll talk again soon.